Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. With me today, very special guest, Mr. Dwayne Karshner. Dwayne, how you doing? Thank you for coming on the show with us.
Thank you so much for having me again. I'm honored to join you. And as you know, as a fellow Mets fan, we really don't have a whole lot else to discuss but Penn State football. So ready to go and ready to discuss my self-proclaimed typical Penn State alumni and fan opinion.
Well, that's exactly what we're looking for. You and I, you mentioned the Mets fandom. Between you and I, what we had to deal with Penn State football last season, what we had to deal with the Mets last year and this year, it's been a rough sports year for us. Now, a little background for our listeners, just to let you know who Dwayne is. Dwayne and I are good friends. We were college roommates. In high school, we attended rival schools. We played basketball on rival teams. We played some softball together, pick up basketball together. We still golf together. Dwayne, as I said, was my roommate. Do you realize it was like 45 years ago now, Dwayne, that we were roommates?
Where has the time gone? And where has Nintendo football gone? If you remember that, we also were rivals in Nintendo football.
Yes, we were. Shows you what our priorities were when we were in school. Now, Dwayne and his fantastic wife, Jill, they are longtime football season ticket holders, also for wrestling and for hockey, big Penn State folks. And having Dwayne on, I like doing this because, as Dwayne pointed out, we're going to get a perspective of this is what the Penn State fans are thinking, right, Dwayne?
That's what I'm hoping to do today. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to do is go through. This was such an off season of change for Penn State. I wanted to kind of go through the whole process, what went on, and what is your response to all of it? Let's start at the top. New head football coach Matt Campbell. We'll get to the process of his hiring in a second, but just in general, do you like what you've seen so far from Matt Campbell?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, it's still very early, but anytime you have a leadership change in an organization, you pray that you end up in a better situation than what you had before. And sometimes the devil you know was better than the devil you don't know. But, you know, James Franklin had many strengths, very personable, one of the best recruiters in the country. But he obviously had some limitations with game management and, from my perspective, especially the use of timeouts. So we're looking for something different, and we're excited to see what Matt Campbell brings to the table.
I'm with you on that. Everything I've seen, heard, him, his staff, the players that he brought in, I'm very impressed with. But let's go back, as I said, a little bit further. The whole process, hiring process. When it was all going on, and it seemed like, if you recall back in those days, back last December, it seemed like it was taking forever, the whole process. And Pat Kraft ended on Matt Campbell. Were you happy at the time? I know it was a name that wasn't talked about a lot until it really came down. Were there other names that you were rooting for?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll say, first of all, there were so many names out there. And I think from a fan perspective, the part that was most discouraging was 58 days and all of the time that it took to find a coach and the damage that it caused. So, you know, if you start going through all of the names, you know, we started off with Matt Rhule, seemed to be the flavor of the day. And then you got to Cignetti as a possibility. Then DeBoer and Freeman and Elko. And then we even went to Louisville's Jeff Brohm and Vandy's Clark Lee and Madison's Bob Chesney. You think about all of that. I mean, it's amazing how many other people were considered prior to Matt Campbell being named. I think that's the frustrating part in the damage of, you know, the frustration of the players, the frustration of the fans, you know, watching our players just go other places, you know, waiting for a coach to be named. That was the frustrating part.
Well, it was awkward at the very least. And I think James Franklin, when he was let go, it needed to happen. Okay. And well, I'm making this statement and I should make it a question. Was it the right thing at the time?
We, you know, Pat Kraft, love him or hate him, and love or hate the process, he didn't have a choice. You know, after embarrassing losses to a winless UCLA team and then an unranked Northwestern team, it kind of forced his hand. So I think most fans will agree it was time for Franklin to go. I'll say the part that I really struggled with was the reaction of Beaver Stadium itself. You know, when you're sitting in a stadium and you hear how loudly the chants of Fire Franklin, you know, raining down onto the field, you know, at Beaver Stadium, that was, I'll say, understood, but really, really tough to hear. You know, that's not the typical Penn State way of handling things, but it did force Pat Kraft's hand. He had to let James Franklin go. So I don't think anyone was surprised, you know, on that Sunday afternoon when the news came out that Franklin was let go.
I'm with you there, too. It not only not a surprise, it was what had to be done. Back-to-back losses to, I guess it was 20-plus point underdogs. You don't do that. You've lost the team if you lose games like that. There is no doubt about that. But I think also you mentioned the booing from the fans, the chance to fire James Franklin. Some of that, I think, was a little bit self-inflicted by James Franklin. He was so sensitive to the noise around him. I think there were a lot of James Franklin fans. I was one of them. But the way, you know, he had rabbit ears. He was too thin-skinned. He heard what the fans had to say. And it showed. And I think it was just, it was time to go.
It was absolutely time to go. And then after the fact, when you started hearing quotes from the players, it really, you know, doubled down on, it was, he had to go. It wasn't just, it was his time. He absolutely had to go at that time.
The thing though, you mentioned the 58 days process. I respect you for remembering that. I would have just said, hey, a long time. I'm not sure what could have been done there. I don't think it was Pat Kraft's intention necessarily to get rid of James Franklin early so he would jump the gun on everybody else, get first dibs on coaches that were available. Because if you were going after coaches who were active elsewhere, unless you're Lane Kiffin, you're not going to get these coaches to leave their teams early, right?
Absolutely, and actually, it almost seemed like it benefited all of these coaches. All of a sudden, they're ending up with more money in their pocket, extended contracts, so it worked to their benefit. And you know, also had, I think, a lot to do with the agents involved. You know, James Franklin agent, you know, tied in with a lot of these coaches' agents. You know, that allowed them to get their extended contracts and extra money.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's exactly it. Folks like Matt Rhule, they owe a big old thank you to Pat Kraft. So then eventually you get to Matt Campbell coming in. Now you have, and how much of this is just, it's an awkward time of the year in college football because you have signing day in December. In fact, we were speaking to members of the Iowa State staff about how this came down with them. They found out Matt Campbell was leaving, and they were probably leaving on commitment day when they just got done having the recruiting class committing there. And, you know, I mentioned jokingly Lane Kiffin, but he was put in the awkward spot of having a playoff team that he had to abandon to get the what he considered the better job at LSU. So I blame college football for most of that mess.
I agree, and it could not have happened at a worse time, especially when it comes to our committed, you know, high school kids, you know, that we were expecting to get, and then obviously, you know, transfer portal departees, if you will. And one other thing that we didn't discuss at the very end, it kind of came down to two coaches, Brigham Young's Kalani Sitake and Campbell, and somehow it seemed we targeted Sitake first. And I'm really not sure how a native of Tonga fits into the culture of Penn State. And that's not a typo. This isn't Tioga County. This is Tonga, a Polynesian island that has in the South Pacific that has nothing to do with the culture in middle of Pennsylvania. So, you know, I think we were fortunate in that there was a communication leak and some crumble cookies came into play, such that, you know, we ended up with Campbell. And I'll tell you, I do not view Campbell as a consolation prize. I think we and especially Pat Kraft were very fortunate at the end, you know, to be able to land him. But, you know, the process itself, it just did not put Pat Kraft in a good light with Penn State fans, in that it took so many, many, you know, different guys that he considered before he landed with what he calls the, you know, the perfect hire. If he was the perfect hire, why did it take so long?
Well, part of it, there was discussions that Matt Campbell doesn't have the traditional agent like a lot of other coaches do. You mentioned earlier, you know, one agency has a lot of the coaches under contract. Matt Campbell's not one of them. And, you know, some of the talk was, hey, in season, you weren't going to be able to reach out to Matt Campbell. How much of that is true? I don't know. If you truly wanted to target Matt Campbell, you probably could have gotten the information there to him somehow, some way, through some back channels at least.
I guess it shows the importance of a good agent. So then I'll have to ask you, Jim, who is your agent? And, you know, do you have the right guy representing you out here in this industry?
Well, I thought I did. I thought I did. I declared my candidacy on this very show for the job, Dwayne. I did. And my agent didn't even get me an interview with Pat Kraft. Okay.
That is very disappointing.
Unacceptable.
Absolutely.
Unacceptable, which now explains why he is no longer my agent. He is now my former agent. So when this job opens up again next time, I will be ready, Dwayne. All right, that's the final word for quarter number one. When we come back, I want to talk to Dwayne about all these transfers, the portal, players in, players out. We'll do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. With me, good friend of mine, Dwayne Karshner. Close enough friend, we were college roommates together at Penn State. So we're fellow Penn State grads, fellow Penn State sports fans. And I'm getting Dwayne's perspective on everything that happened during this Penn State football offseason. We talked about the hiring of Matt Campbell. I think we both agree. It turned out to be a great hire. And it certainly feels like Pat Kraft just sort of fell into this, which was fortunate for him. Now, you get this process that it's so different in college football now. When a coach leaves, half his team ends up going with him. We saw that precedent with Kurt Cignetti and all the players that went from James Madison to Indiana. So now here is Matt Campbell in a situation where a bunch of Penn State players declare their free agency, meaning they entered the portal. They lose most of their recruiting class. James Franklin, you know, was right there lobbying to take as many of these Penn State players as he could. Some of the others just going to the highest bidder. Now, Matt Campbell reaches back out to his Iowa State team and bringing a bunch of players there. First of all, just in general, how did you respond to how Matt Campbell and his staff handled that whole changeover?
Yeah, that's it's a difficult position to be in, you know, when you step back and look at it. And to your point from the first quarter, the timing could not have been worse. You know, our incoming, as you mentioned, the incoming class of high school kids, absolutely devastated in those 58 days. 24 members of that incoming class left Penn State and went to 11 different schools. So I don't remember how many we had. I want to say 26. It might have left about two guys. Like everybody left. 11 of those went with Franklin, to your point. And then you have the other half is the transfer portal. 46 guys, I think that's the number I heard. 46 left through for the transfer portal, 12 of which went with Franklin. And, you know, and he handpicked the guys, obviously. He was good at relationships. That was his strength. And he did develop relationships with a lot of guys and convince them to go with him. Very popular guys like Gronk and Luke Reynolds and Corey Smith, amongst others. So, you know, if you're Matt Campbell, you come in and your team is devastated. And now you have to start building from the ground up. So a very challenging position for him to be in. But likewise, he also is a relationship guy and developed some good relationships with his Iowa State team and was able to handpick some of his favorites to come with him over to Penn State.
Well, here's one of the criticisms there. Iowa State, Matt Campbell definitely elevated that team in the decade or so that he was there at Iowa State. And it is a lot of his team, especially on the offensive side, who came with him. That scares a lot of Penn State fans. They're thinking, wait a minute, Iowa State, they weren't winning Big 12 championships. How are you going to bring the team here and win at the Big 10 level?
And that's a fair question. You know, as seems like a nice guy that Matt Campbell is, he has zero conference titles. You know, his record at Iowa State, 107-70. That's not going to cut it at Penn State. So, you know, the fans are expecting much more. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. And it may take a while to be able to develop a team to be able to compete in the Big Ten. But that all remains to be seen. But I just like our chances with this coaching staff to be able to develop players and make it happen.
Well, let's talk about you threw out some of the names that of Penn State players who left, who entered the portal. Who are the guys that you think they will miss the most? Who are the guys that would have fit a position of need? Maybe they were replaced by a portal guy from Iowa State that you would have preferred the Penn State player stick around. Like, let's start with the quarterback position. It's Grunkmeyer or Rocco Beck. As soon as Rocco Beck announced he was coming to Penn State, you knew Ethan Grunkmeyer was not going to come back. Fair trade?
That's well, we're going to find out. You know, Penn State fans, you know, if you look at our quarterback history, we loved Trace McSorley. You know, and we're looking for the next Trace McSorley. I mean, Drew Aller came with this rocket arm and a frame that NFL scouts, you know, drool over. Did he deliver the way, you know, we were hoping? Probably not. You know, we were looking for more of, you know, the results that Trace McSorley was able to deliver. With Beck, you know, with Rocco, we don't know yet how he'll compete in the Big Ten. But again, I like our chances. This is a proven quarterback. You know, his stats are good, probably more starts than about anybody in the country. So he's very experienced and, you know, they are bringing some offensive studs with them. So, you know, we're looking forward to this new offense and what Rocco can bring. I will say Gronk was a very popular quarterback for us, though, too, and filled in quite nicely for Aller when Drew went down in the middle of the season. So he is going to be missed in a big way. But I believe Beck has the skill set to fill in nicely.
Well, when I heard a lot of folks and say you have Beck for 1 year, Grunkmeyer would have been around for a few years. So that's the trade-off. My response to that is they not just brought Rocco Beck from Iowa State, they also brought Alex Mansky, who was at Iowa State, had a freshman year redshirted there. So if you're Matt Campbell and you thought highly of Alex Mansky, you're thinking, okay, Beck is my present, Mansky's my future. So I thought of it as a 2-for-1 trade-off. How about elsewhere? Other players that you look at the list of Penn State players that left through the portal, any one of them that you say, boy, I wish they had kept him around?
Well, I was a big fan of Luke Reynolds. You know, you go back to the fake punt, and, you know, he just brought a lot of skills. But then you look at our current tight end room that we have, and probably as much as talented as Luke was, he'll probably be missed the least because of the talent that we still have left in the tight end room. So I'm very excited to see what the tight ends bring to the table also, you know, with this offense.
Well, I think that point that you bring up right there is the important thing. And as you look at that list of players who left, you've got to see how it's been backfilled, who is coming in otherwise. And I think that this coaching staff, they had, I don't want to say that they had their choice, that they could decide who's sticking around and who's not, because the players have to, you know, they're part of the decision-making process also. But I think they looked at positions. You mentioned tight end, and there was Rapoyer and Luke Reynolds, who I think were both keepers. You'd like to keep both of them if possible. But you also had three tight ends at Iowa State that you liked and obviously were willing to come over. So all of a sudden you have this decision, the three Iowa State tight ends, Luke Reynolds, Andrew Rapoyer, and let's not forget Andrew Olish, the very highly rated freshman. And you know, you can't keep all seven of them.
Right. And not to mention Brommer, who's coming from Iowa State. He was a Mackey finalist. So our tight ends will be probably the strength of this team. We're loaded there. So as much as we like Luke Reynolds, he'll probably not be missed as much as maybe some of the other players.
Well, you know, tell me, are there any of the other players that you look at and say, you know what, I really wish he were back?
Well, I liked Corey Smith too, but you know, you look at the running back room, you know, who we have, you know, coming in, James Peoples from Ohio State is now with us, and throw in Carson Hansen from Iowa State. He was all Big 12. So as much as, you know, we lost that running back, we lost some, you know, a very good recruit, you know, that was going to be a running back for us. But you plug in some of these other guys that we now have. I think that Matt Campbell has an answer to the guys that aren't here. But then you go on the other side of the ball in the defense. You know, you look at that UCLA game. I mean, the problem was, I think one of the biggest problems last year was losing Tony Rojas. It just decimated our defense. And, you know, trying to put together a defense now that can stop Big Ten offenses, I believe will be the key for this next year. I feel good about our offense. I still think defense is one of the big question marks for us.
It really is, and we'll get to a little bit of, you know, the players on the field, but I wanted to get through that process, you know, the portal. You talked about also, you mentioned the recruiting class was just decimated. When Franklin left, essentially the entire recruiting class left, and, you know, Matt Campbell was just left to have to fill as he could. He needed bodies. You know, he got some of the Iowa State recruits also to come follow him. But now we've already come forward to the next year, and it also has been a bit disappointing to fans. Some of the big names in Pennsylvania, there were a couple of five-star guys went elsewhere. He ended up only getting two, I think, of the top 10, if even that, out of the state of Pennsylvania. What's your reaction to that? I know I'm leaving you less than a minute to respond.
Yeah, it's just disappointing, you know, that we weren't able to retain, you know, some of those guys. You know, and is it a reflection on Campbell, you know, coming in, or is it a reflection on our program? I just think we have a long way to go to get with to some of these other big time schools with retaining players when something like this happens.
Yeah, it's really difficult when the changeover was made. And I think a lot of it, credit or blame to James Franklin with his ability to recruit, took a lot of portal guys, took a lot of the recruits with him. And, you know, that's a credit to him and his ability to recruit and bring players in. All right, Dwayne, we still got another half to go. We'll do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. With me is Dwayne Karshner. It's quarter number three of our show. Dwayne is giving us his perspective on this entire Penn State offseason. And one of the things you brought it up, Dwayne, during one of our breaks here, that Terry Smith is such a major factor on this team. What he did holding the team together after Franklin left, and then he's remained on Coach Matt Campbell's staff. He's a big, big part of this staff.
Absolutely. And you know, I wasn't sure when he was named the interim head coach, you know, for the last half of the season, how it would work out. But he actually was very impressive how he brought the team together, won some huge games down the stretch that gave us, you know, a winning record and being able to go and play in a bowl game. It was big from a player perspective, but it also embraced the Letterman. If you remember, the Letterman backed him. They wanted him as the head coach. I don't know if I was convinced that he's head coach material. Obviously he's a great guy and a good motivator. Just not so sure he was head coach material, at least in today's day and age where, you know, you have the transfer portal and NIL and having to deal with all of that stuff. But he's great in the sidelines, and the Letterman embraced him, the players embraced him. So very important that they included him in the mix.
I thought it was very telling that if you picked a position group where the Penn State players returned, it was the cornerback room where Terry Smith was the position coach. And when it was mentioned that he's coming back with Matt Campbell, I wondered, okay, was this just one of these, hey, it's good to retain a staff member from the previous regime? A lot of my concerns were alleviated when Matt Campbell talked about the fact that he and Terry Smith had a relationship going way back.
Correct. And team chemistry is so important. And I believe, you know, having Terry Smith there really helped out the chemistry you know, not only ending last season, but in, during the assembly of next year's team.
I do too. I think in that process where they had to put together a roster in a couple weeks, if that even, they had a lot of decisions to make. They obviously were very well aware of the players at Iowa State. They brought in 20-some of them. They were able to identify this guy's talented, he's got the right culture fit, all of those things. They knew because they obviously they coached there. What they didn't know was what the Penn State locker room looked like. Hey, we can watch this guy on film, but we don't know what kind of fit he is in the locker room, what kind of teammate he is, all those things that seem pretty important to Matt Campbell. Kerry Smith could provide that answer.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It was just a very important hire for them to bring him on. I think his title's assistant head coach now.
I believe so, yes.
So that's an important piece that he's, you know, very much a part of the leadership, and I believe the players embrace that.
I do too, and I think that Matt Campbell showed respect for Kerry Smith, a prior relationship, and that was important. But you mentioned, you know, Letterman. Matt Campbell seems to be making a concerted effort to reach out to the Letterman. He also seems to, it struck me, he was willing to use the name Paterno when he talked. That was important to me. Was it important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obvious to me that Penn State's legacy is important to Matt Campbell, not just you know, putting a team together, but just embracing, you know, the past players, the past history at our school, and you know, doing things the right way. And I think that's very important to the fans, you know, that that we do it the Paterno way. That was, you know, that was how we got to where we are, and it's a big part of who we are.
When I hear Matt Campbell speak, when I hear we had the opportunity to talk to Derek Hoosier, the general manager, Taylor Mauser, the offensive coordinator, and they would talk, and I'd hear what they're saying, and I interpret it as success with honor. They didn't use those words, but that's what they were saying.
And that I get the same feeling when listening to them.
For old Penn State fans like you and I, that's important. All right, let's look forward now a little bit. Looking at this team and how it's assembled, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. We highlighted a couple of those positions. We talked a bit about tight end. We talked a little bit of running back, quarterback. Give me your overview of this team's offense and how much, what your confidence level is in it.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence, you know, in the offense, on the offensive side. We have studs all over the place, including the offensive line. You know, the concern here is the ability to gel in a short time frame. You know, I know this these couple of weeks are important to every team, but especially to Penn State when you're bringing in, I think we had 40 transfers that came in. So trying to bring them in, get them to gel, you know, it was interesting listening to Matt Campbell at the Big Ten media days where, you know, he, when he was questioned on results, et cetera, he made it clear. He said he's in the weeds. You know, he's trying to focus on things like leadership and how to respond to adversity. And you can tell he's very much a developmental kind of guy as compared to, you know, this is the best team we ever had and we're going to win it all. You know, we're not hearing those words at all. It's important for him to start. It's almost like building blocks. You know, he wants to start at the ground and build his way up. And he's not talking about results. He's talking about the process and what it's going to take to build this team up.
We didn't hear him say, we won the off season.
He never said that, obviously. And obviously, we didn't obviously use that word too much.
Obviously, we did not. And I know I'm getting off track here. Obviously, that was the James Franklin quote. how in the world, a guy involved in sports, it's almost such a cliche that it's an insult to say, hey, your team won the off season. You know, we hear that as Mets fans all the time, and it's like the kiss of death to talk about winning the off season. So, yeah, that struck me. You talked about the time it takes to get it together, and no doubt that's going to be part of it. But how much of an advantage is it that, you know what, the head coach, the offensive coordinator are back. They've got their quarterback back. They've got, you know, their top tight ends, their top wide receivers back, their top running back have all followed them to Penn State. How important is that?
Oh, it's huge. You know, especially the quarterback position. You know, being able to talk the same language, understand, you know, the tendencies of the offensive coordinator and the head coach, and, you know, being able to get plays in, that's going to be very, very important, especially early in the season. And I'm sure we'll talk schedule here in a little bit, but I think the schedule is to our benefit, that we're going to have a couple of games to be able to, you know, work out the bugs and you know, try to fine tune this machine that he's trying to put together. And it's going to take some time, but again, I'd like our chances, you know, based on there's so many returning players or returning people from Iowa State that know the system with their offensive coordinator, I think gives us a good chance with that.
I like the point you made about the quarterback returning, and I'll even go back to something you said a bit earlier in the show. Rocco Beck, I believe he is the most veteran quarterback in the country. I think he has the most starts among returning quarterbacks. And I believe we found out over the last couple of years, just in general, how important the veteran quarterback is. But the veteran quarterback playing in the same system he was in the last several years, that's a huge advantage. And so I'm pretty comfortable with the offense they put together. You know, my only question mark, I even feel pretty good about the offensive line. Now, I will mention, I felt real good about them last year, and it didn't turn out that way. But they have the redshirt freshman, Malachi Goodman, who it looks like he's going to be the starting left tackle. I don't have much doubt he's going to be good someday. My question is, will it be right away?
Right, and that's going to be that will remain to be seen, and that's why we go to the games, and that's the exciting part of it, is watching this group gel.
And I want to mention, they talk very highly of this transfer center they brought in from Texas State, the feeling that he was the best center in the portal, going to be one of the best centers in the country. So it's going to be interesting to see how he performs. But the offensive line, like I said, a year ago, all the talent in the world was there, and they disappointed us. This year's offensive line doesn't have the same raw talent. They don't have a first round draft pick on this offensive line like Vega was. Okay.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. Nowhere else is in the position group where it's the group is greater than the sum of the parts, or less than the sum of the parts, depending on how it works out.
Right, and I think if there's one thing we learned last year is how important that offensive line is. You think about it, we had Allen and Singleton in the backfield, and there wasn't a lot of holes, even early in the season against, you know, the non-conference opponents. It's not like we were blowing people off the line and they were getting huge yardage. That offensive line is going to tell the tale, you know, whether or not we're going to have an effective offense or not.
I agree, because I know a lot of folks have PTSD about the wide receiver room at Penn State. You can't use the past when talking about this year's group. Totally new group, new position coach, new coordinator, new head coach. It's not the same discussion. Anyway, moving forward here, we got one more quarter to go. I'm going to ask you for the same kind of evaluation of the defense. then we are going to take a look at the schedule this year. I'm going to get Dwayne to go through the schedule. He's going to tell us how many wins for this team when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim. He's Dwayne. We're talking Penn State football. We went through this offseason. Now we're talking about the team going forward. We went through the offense a bit. And now the defense, Dwayne, you and I were talking between segments. And you mentioned, gee, you know, you're not an expert on this defense and the personnel. I don't think any of us are. It's so new coordinator, a lot of new names. A lot of new names we can't even pronounce.
Good, because I'm not good at pronouncing those names.
But it's just so new. I don't know if you have a general take. It's interesting. Danton Lynn, you know, Penn Stater coming back after his experience on the West Coast. Just in general, are you scared to see the defense? What do you expect?
No, definitely not scared. But I think you almost have to start with last year. You know, we have Jim Knowles coming in, who, and we had so, you know, such high hopes, you know, after his success at Ohio State. You know, we heard rumors that his system was so complicated and it takes a while to learn it. And I don't know if that was the case. But between, you know, that and losing Tony Rojas in the middle of the season, our defense was porous last year. And, you know, it seemed like the Jimmy and the Joes were in place, but the system just didn't support it. So I think that's my major area of concern is this defense, only because there's so many unknowns. You know, you look at Lynn's success, you know, in his past few teams, and you can get excited about that and the possibilities. But I don't know what kind of system he really is going to bring in. How long is it going to take to learn? You know, how soon can we hit the ground running with this defense? So we're, you know, hopeful with the beginning of our season with the schedule that's not, I'll say, overly challenging, that we can develop a defense that's way better than last year, because from a fan perspective, last year was a failure from a defensive standpoint.
It was, and I'm excited. The players seem to be excited about the changeover. Without mentioning Jim Knowles by name, it seemed like they were critical of his system. So the one thing I do like is they really brought in size at the defensive tackle position. I like that. I think that will help them hold up in Big Ten play. I want to talk to you about the schedule. You alluded to it a couple times and go through it. But I'm just curious, as a fan, how much are you paying attention to James Franklin at Virginia Tech?
Well, you know, here's how I'll characterize it. You know, as a longtime Penn State fan, I always remember the saying that my favorite college football teams are Penn State and whoever's playing Pitt. Now, is that going to change this year to say also whoever's playing Pitt and Virginia Tech? You know, some of the players that left were very popular. You know, I mentioned Gronk and Reynolds. And I think the typical Penn State fan wishes those players nothing but the best. However, I do not think a typical Penn State fan is looking for Franklin to have success at Virginia Tech based on, you know, how this relationship ended. I don't think it was overly positive. You know, watching him at that press conference on College Game Day, you know, right after he was let go, just left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. And, you know, it will be interesting to see. But I have trouble rooting for Miami. But this year, there was a game I'm probably going to be rooting for. Go Hurricanes. So, you know, we're going to find out.
Well, there's going to be some of those storylines. I believe they do play Virginia, Bo Prabula.
That will boy, be, will I... Think about it. Prabula against Grunkmeyer. I mean, if that doesn't bring – and also Virginia, Virginia Tech is their rivalry. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of interest in that game by everyone in the state of Virginia. But the state of Pennsylvania will be watching that game pretty closely, too. And I wish Prabula all the best in the world.
Well, here's one. And I believe they're playing. I believe Pitt is playing Virginia Tech.
It's going to rain that day. A lot of lightning. You know, they might have to evacuate the stadium. Who knows what's going to happen?
Can you find a rooting interest in that game?
No, I think no. There'll be maybe a World Cup soccer game that day that I might tune into, so I don't have to even watch. I don't know.
Okay. To me, it's going to be like that car accident. I can't help but look. Okay. those two got actually forget the game itself. I would love to just tune into, you know, that little discussion the coaches have before the game. I would like to hear how that conversation goes.
So during an accident, you're the guy that holds up all the traffic.
Yes.
You're watching the,
yes.
That's so you're the reason traffic is held up.
That's
good to know. Good.
That's me. Blame me. Hey, I've even, you know, gotten out my phone, you know, to record going up Interstate 81. I remember this tractor trailer with fires, the flames bursting out of it. Yes, yes, I turn my head and watch. You can blame me for it, Dwayne.
Keep the traffic moving. Thank you very much.
All right, let's move on. You talked about this a couple times already, which is the schedule. It's well talked about. To me, there's 9 games where they're going to be definitive favorites. There's 3 games that they're going to be close to toss-ups one way or the other by a couple points. That's home against USC, on the road Michigan, and on the road Washington. First of all, the other 9 games that they should be favorites in. Are you concerned about any of those games?
Well, the one that sticks out to me is the first Big Ten game at home with Wisconsin. I think will be a very challenging game. Not so much that, you know, that Wisconsin is a great team, but just that's the game that's going to show how much we learned in the early part of the season and being able to put it together, you know, having an offense that's, you know, I don't say well-oiled, but efficient, and a defense that can stop a good running game. So that I think that's going to be the telltale of how far, you know, did we come to be ready for a Big Ten schedule. So that's the first, I think, big important game for us. You know, USC, that's the whiteout, right? At least I don't think it was announced yet. But
it hasn't been announced, but we're all assuming.
All right, so Jim is announcing today on this program that USC is the whiteout at night. So don't take that to the bank. Yeah, that's going to be a very difficult game. But, you know, are we favored? Absolutely not. You know, but if we win it, look out. I do think, you know, it's we just have so much to learn before you can predict that. But everyone is saying, you know, USC is the favorite team and predicting a Penn State loss for that game. But I think that's our really big one for us to be able to show the country how far we've advanced.
I think that it will be the whiteout. I'm not announcing it, but I'm predicting it. Of the big three games that I mentioned, I'm a little concerned on the road, Northwestern opening up their brand new stadium on a Friday night. That's the kind of game that scares me, that upset alert.
I think you're safer announcing that USC is the whiteout game than you are with the construction progress of the Northwestern Stadium. So, Jim, are you announcing that Northwestern Stadium will be ready for that game?
I got a feeling, understanding how Chicago works, those guys are being paid like triple overtime to get that thing completed.
The Chicago unions are healthy, and I'm sure they're out there making sure that that stadium is ready to go.
I suspect that there's a lot more truth to that than we imagine. I also think the USC game will be such a huge game for Matt Campbell because that's the first quote unquote big game for him. And if you remember, that's always been the knock on James Franklin, being able to win the big game. So I believe it'll be a whiteout. Good chance Penn State will be undefeated going into that game. It would put them on, not only put them on the national radar if they could win the game, but also this is like the biggest recruiting day of the year for Penn State. For years now, players commit to Penn State. Question is, what made you commit? Boy, that whiteout game I was there for. That means so much. And they could then, with that win, if they could get that win under their belt, lose to Michigan, lose to Washington, you're still a 10-win team and possibly even a playoff team at that point, Dwayne. So I put so much importance on that game.
I agree 100%. And if you think about it, this coaching staff has never experienced the whiteout. The 40 transfers that came in, all those Iowa State guys, none of them have seen the whiteout before. And, you know, the emotions that they're going to go through, you know, when they go through that tunnel, it's going to be amazing. So very much looking forward to the atmosphere that night.
Well, having talked to a few of those players transfer from Iowa State, they are well aware of what the whiteout is.
Oh, I'm sure they've seen the videos, but you just can't duplicate that, you know, other than being there in person. You
know, to feel it. Nothing like being inside the building for that game. All right, schedule is laid out. Dwayne, you got to make your prediction for the season.
Well, first of all, the Washington game. My wife and I are going to the game, so we're looking forward to traveling to the Pacific Northwest and experience, you know, the atmosphere in their stadium. I think that's one of the tough games. I think USC game and the Michigan game could be our stumbling points. Anytime you're at Michigan, it's a tough place to play. And I used to say, and to get a fair shake, but now with instant replay, thank you, Paterno, for helping put that in place for college football. But it's still a difficult place to play. But the optimistic side of me thinks two losses, you know, could be, you know, on the high side, if you will. I'll say a four loss team is a possibility. So I'm going to go in the middle with a three loss season.
All right. Would you be satisfied with 9-3?
Somewhat. I'm still hopeful for only two. I'm going to Washington, so obviously I don't want to travel that far and, you know, for a loss. So our tailgating friends, the Gerhardts, are going to be joining us in Washington. We're going to have a great week out there, tour the campus, tour the city. Looking forward to it.
Oh, that sounds like a fantastic trip. Dwayne, thank you so much for coming on the show. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do it again. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.